And get this meeting called to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce.
Present.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, first item is the consent agenda. Any questions, comments, anything you want pulled for discussion or a motion?
Anything? Seeing nothing, I would move we approve the consent agenda.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Councilmember McPherson and second by Councilmember Laraway. Any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us right to public hearings. Case number 22-04-AN, annexation 300 South Strobel Road, Jessica Reed.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Jessica Reed, planner 2751 West 4th Street in CUNA. Ms. Alvina Unser requests approval to annex approximately 9.22 acres into CUNA city limits with an R4 medium-density residential zoning district classification. The comprehensive plan future land use map serves as a guide for the development of the city and currently designates the subject site as mixed use. However, upon review, staff finds that as the property is approximately 0.12 miles south of East CUNA Road and South Strobel Road intersection, and is immediately adjacent to the previously approved Rising Sun subdivision, a residential-only designation would be appropriate. Staff notes there is no development associated with this application, but should this annexation be approved, it is the applicant's intent to come back before the council and request a lot split to divide the subject property into three parcels. Based upon staff review, the annexation request has been determined to be within technical compliance with city code and Idaho code. Staff would recommend council approve case number 22-04-AN, with the applicant being subject to the conditions of approval listed in section 7 of the staff memo. And thank you for your time, and I'll answer any questions you have.
Okay. Questions for Jessica? All right.
I said I had none.
Oh, okay. This is a public hearing, and I didn't have anybody sign up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter that didn't get a chance to sign in?
As the applicant, do we need to sign in?
You don't need to, no. Okay. Yeah, did you want to go ahead and comment? Yes, you may have the floor. Just state name and address.
Mayor and council members, thanks for your time. I'm Sid Anderson. I live at 2500 East Rock Falls Lane. I'm here representing Alvina as the applicant. I'm a neighbor of hers and just assisting her with this process. Alvina wishes to split and sell a portion of her property that her and her husband acquired 60 years ago, and she wants to retain her home and still live there. And wants to be able to sell a part of it, and she can't do that in the county, so she wishes to annex so she can pursue that split process. With that, I'll stand for any questions you may have.
Okay. Questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. Again, this is a public hearing. If there's anybody who wishes to testify, raise your hand, and I'll get you signed in. All right, seeing none, Seems like a pretty straightforward deal, and I would support the fact that she be able to divide her property and sell it off as she pleases.
And keep her home. Okay, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion by Council President McPherson and second by Council Member Bruce. Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Anything from you two? Well, I would support this as well. It's pretty simple case of being able to split it and like her letter said and retain her home and still be part of the community. So I would move we approve case number 22-04AN.
Second.
Motion is made by Council President McPherson and seconded by Council Member Larraway to approve case number 22-04-AN. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you very much. It's good.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't ruin it for me.
I'm mostly there. All right, that brings us to case number 2206AN, annexation at 14375 South Cole Road. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mayor, Council Members. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The applicant is requesting the annexation of approximately 43 acres into CUNA city limits with an M1 light industrial manufacturing zoning district classification. There is no development associated with this application. The East CUNA Industrial Annexation, case numbers 21-11-AN and 21-03-DA, approved by City Council on November 3rd, 2021, allows for the acquirement of additional property outside of the initial industrial annexation area that was proposed if the additional property meets certain requirements in Section 4 and Exhibit C of that development agreement. 14375 South Cole Road is a parcel that meets those requirements. Following review, staff has determined the request is within technical compliance of Idaho State Code and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan to request annexation. Staff would recommend that the City Council approve the annexation with the applicant being subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 10 of your staff memo, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. I'll stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug? Did the applicant wish to testify?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, my name is Tamara Thompson. I'm with the Land Group. Our offices are at 462 East Shore Drive in Eagle. I'm here today representing the applicant and the property owner. We have read the staff report and agree with staff's recommended conditions and findings, and we respectfully request your approval tonight.
Okay, thank you. Did you have any questions for the applicant?
No.
No.
No, no right. Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this is a public hearing, and I didn't have anybody else signed up to testify. Was there anybody who wishes to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Leave it open as long as you have questions for applicant or anyone like that.
I have nothing.
I don't either.
No?
No. It's in Dodge Trail, so.
Okay. Then I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion is made by Council President McPherson and seconded by Councilmember Bruce?
Laraway.
Laraway? Okay. Councilmember Laraway. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Well, this is just another piece of the puzzle to the industrial area, so.
Yeah, they'll have to come back in front of us before they do anything anyway.
You're right. Pretty straightforward, so. Okay, then. I would move we approve case number 22-06AN.
Second.
Did that include with staff?
Oh, yes, with staff's recommendations.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded by Council Member or Council President McPherson and seconded by Council Member Laraway to approve case number 22-06AN with staff recommendations. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. And that brings us to case number 2104-AN and 2103-ZC and 2101-PUD. I think that's it. That's a strike through. Troy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. For the record, Troy B. Hunan, Huna Planning and Zoning Staff, Planner 3, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. The application in front of you this evening is from Providence Properties, LLC. They're requesting approval to annex approximately 55 acres into the city of CUNA using three different zones. Approximately 39.61 acres as R6 medium density residential, 6.16 acres as R8 high density residential, and 9.8 acres as C1 neighborhood commercial. 81 acres of the project site was annexed in 2007 and was known as Sanctuary Subdivision. However, it was never developed and it lost all of its approvals. The applicant proposes to rezone approximately 81.05 acres to R6 as a part of their proposed PUD, which is planned unit development. The applicant does request approval of a planned unit development for approximately 136.17 acres using these three zoning districts to create a master plan community. The applicant requests preliminary plat approval in order to subdivide the approximate 136.17 acres into 724 total lots, including 604 single-family, 114 common lots, or open spaces, and six commercial lots. The applicant is also requesting, or did request, a special use permit, which was granted by the Planning and Zoning Commission earlier this year, which is a requirement of the PUD. The applicant proposes 14.3 acres or 10.59% of the total project to be qualified open space. Public Works conditionally supports the Sabino's Rocky Ridge subdivision development with conditions of that support listed in 4.C of the engineer's memo. The applicant has proposed an irrigation pond, pump and pond to serve this development shown on the plat on lot 13, which is approximately about 2.28 acres. Planning and Zoning Department agrees with the Public Works recommendation. The applicant proposes changes to the setbacks for the proposed R6 and R8 zones as stated in their narrative and materials. The proposed changes are to the setbacks only. Staff has prepared a development agreement for the project, which has been reviewed by staff, the city's legal team, and sent to the applicant. and is also for your consideration. The agreement will guide development from beginning to end and is before the City Council for your decision. Staff has reviewed the proposed annexation for qualification, the proposed planned unit development, rezone, and preliminary plat for technical compliance with CUNA City Code Title V and Title VI, Idaho State Statute 67-6511, the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, and the prepared DA development agreement. With that, I will literally stand for any questions you have.
Literally.
Literally.
Questions for Troy? Yes.
Yes. If you could break it down a little bit for more simplistic. Out of the 136 acres, how much of it is going to be R8? How much of it is going to be R6? How much of it is going to be commercial?
Approximately 9.8 acres will be commercial, C1, and...
Tentatively along 10 Mile.
10 Mile, actually on the corner of 10 Mile and Hubbard. But yes, okay. Primarily along 10 Mile. 6.16 acres as R8, and the balance, which is... which is 91 acres. I can't do the math in my head. 81 acres.
Everything else would be R6.
The 81 acres would be R6.
Now, on the neighborhood commercial, are those townhouses, slant apartments, or those storefronts?
That would be storefronts. The townhomes or the higher density that you're referring to is only in the R8. Okay. Commercial no longer allows for residential uses.
Double check them.
Good question.
I saw in here that it says this would normally be Danskin, right? That it would filter into?
Danskin lift station? That's correct.
And then it says if it's not, doesn't have the right pipe to get it there, then it will use... Crimson Point. Is that correct?
That'd be a question for the city engineer, probably.
So that's what it says in the report. But I just wanted to know where are we at as far as Crimson Point's capacity.
You want me to answer this?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, Paul.
Paul Stevens, city engineer, 751 West 4th. They get it right this time. They can, we have capacity in Crimson Point to accept this waste at the moment. And then the other second half of the puzzle would be the force main in, the 18-inch force main in 10 Mile Road when that comes online. So we have two ways of taking care of it.
So we haven't... We haven't oversold it right now, right? Like some of the other stations, it can handle this.
Correct.
Or have we already approved something else that's going to...
Correct. And I expect it to be a temporary situation to send it to Crimson. And so, just so you know, we have treatment plant capacity. The problem is conveyance to get it there. And so we've been working with these guys for... If you look at the dates on this, it's been quite a while.
Yeah,
couple
2001.
Of years. So,
yeah.
So
well, that's why I was asking, because it was a while.
So it's worked out so that we can have two different ways of making this work. And also, they're putting in a larger lift station than they originally intended. And they, and just so you know, they also agreed to the other requirement, which was to put in a pump and pond for irrigation. So that's on 6B.
Are they going to tear 10 Mile up again?
I'm sorry?
Are they going to tear 10 Mile up again?
Yes, it's constant.
That road's closed more.
Okay, anything further for staff?
No, I don't know.
Okay, this is a public hearing, and is there anybody who wished to testify who didn't get a chance to sign up? I'll let you. take it here in a second. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter who didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. Applicant. What's that? Yeah, you signed in.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Patrick Connor. Address is 701 South Allen Street, Meridian, Idaho. Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you for having me tonight. I'm with Providence Properties or Hubble Homes, and we build communities in the Treasure Valley. Can I get the presentation up there? Oh, I do it. The project I'm presenting to you tonight is called Sabino's Rocky Ridge. This is just a brief outline of what I'm discussing. It's a big project. There's a lot of items, and I'll try to get through it as quick as I can and then answer any questions you all have that may be lingering. First, we'll talk about the community overview and the namesake, what's behind the name Sabino's Rocky Ridge. Look at some zoning maps, vicinity map. Look at the zoning and the preliminary plat overview. Look at the parameters of the PUD that we were requesting. Looking at the open space amenities that we're proposing, the housing product, the private driveway and the parking plan for a particular type of housing product. Talk more about the commercial along 10 Mile. Look at the regional utility investment, the lift station that we just alluded to, as well as the EMS and fire access. And then I'll dive in a little bit about the tax benefits and community relations that we've had thus far, and then shine light on a couple of things we have going on. So as Troy said, it's 134 and a half acres, R6, R8, and C1. The C1 is just along 10 Mile. R8 is a transition zone into the majority, which is R6. I'm proposing 10.5% open space, which is about 14 acres. And then because it's a PUD, we are requesting a variance of setbacks for the R8 zone, and then a slight increase in the net density of the R6 and R8 zone, which is allowed within the code. You're allowed up to 15%. I'll get more into that. And there's some significant regional lift station investment that will serve the greater region. So just real quick about the story of Sabino. So Sabino de la Concepcion was born in 1953 in the Basque Country. He immigrated to the United States, was working on fishing boats in Alaska and California, and eventually settled in CUNA with his wife, Vicky. They had two daughters, and they continued the cattle operations here and in Caldwell until he passed away in 2016. So when we acquired the corner of 10 Mile and Hubbard from the family, it was their request to name the subdivision after him. So I just wanted to share that, and they're really happy about his legacy and his name carrying on the subdivision, and they said they'd be first in line to buy a house, so we're looking forward to that, hopefully. Vicinity map, it's in the northwest corner of town and corner of 10 Mile and Hubbard. As Troy said, the sanctuary preliminary plat was approved by this body in 2017. It just had frontage on Hubbard. When we acquired the land, the preliminary plat was expired, but the zoning and the annexation was still intact. We were looking for a way to get to 10 Mile for EMS access and for utility access. So we were able to do that by acquiring 15 acres, that bridge portion you see, and the 40 acres on the corner there. The dotted yellow line you see is both the utility and the emergency access route. And speaking to the fire department, they wanted to ensure that we have two points of access to two major roads, both Hubbard and 10 Mile. And we're guaranteeing that throughout the project, there will be those two points of access for safety and EMS. So the comprehensive plan, medium density residential on the former sanctuary portion, and then the rest of it is mixed use. And speaking with the Economic Development Department for the past couple of years, we landed on having the C1 along 10 Mile as to satisfy the mixed-use requirement by the city, then transitioning to R8 and R6. So our proposed zoning is shown here. We are proposing a change of the rezone from the R4 formerly to R6. Because of some ways you interpret the zoning code, R4 back then is similar to kind of how R6 is presented today in today's code. Here's a shot of the preliminary plat. We did a rework of some of the lot sizes after our first planning and zoning hearing to provide larger lots along Shayla. So our kind of larger 60-to-7-foot lots are shown in blue or purple. Our 50-foot standard lots are shown in yellow, and then our 40-foot lots are shown in pink. And then the neighborhood commercial there, again, is on, along 10 Mile. So the PUD parameters that we're asking for tonight, we are requesting decreased setbacks from our front and rear setbacks in the R8 zone. What we're doing here, and I get into it a little bit further, but we're having a smaller lot for a smaller front yard and a smaller backyard in hopes that we can decrease the need for having to maintain a large yard and offer a different sort of housing product for folks. It also helps with the affordability factor. If you can have higher density, we're able to sell a house at a more affordable level to try to get back to that first buyer, home buyer, which has been priced out of the market for the past couple of years. Again, we are requesting an increase in the net density for R6 to R8 zone of 2.5%, 11.4% increase. By code of 573D, you're allowed up to 15%, or I'm allowed to ask you all for up to 15%. And PNZ was agreeable in this request. Our open space, again, it's about 10.5% or 14 acres. We tried our very best to kind of spread the open space around, given the size and scope of this project. We want to ensure there was some equity and access to the parks. So we have, just moving from the right to the left, or from the east to the west, we do have two pickleball courts, a tot lot, and a play ball field, with pathways in that first one. That's that rectangular lot in the middle. We'll have a tot lot, and then we'll have a larger park in the larger far west side of the property that has a workout station, pickleball, tot lot, another tot lot park in the north part, and then a fenced-in dog park in the northwest corner adjacent to the PI lagoon. And that's located in the top left of the map. One of the big things that we hear about from our home buyers and our communities is having connectivity with and pathways, and that's the number one amenity they all look for, a place to walk a dog, ride a bike, teach a kid to ride a bike, exercise. So that's one thing that we've really tried to incorporate in this project is the integration of pathways throughout large blocks, breaking them up. We had a pretty drastic overhaul redesign with ACHD's recommendations, and we were able to kind of fit in more interesting pathways and breaking up the neighborhood to offer more green space and oasis from houses and within the community. This is a shot of some of the homes that we are proposing. All of our home designs over the past 2 years have been completely updated and overhauled with new materials, architectural elements. As prices have kind of gone up in our valley, we've tried to increase the level of our included features and our architectural abilities, so to try to match the needs and the requests from the market, but also provide a better product. So that's something I'm happy to show you all tonight. This is generally for our 60-foot and wider lots, and we're also proposing some of our reflection lots, which are these are our large estate luxury homes that we're building up in Star and Meridian right now. This is the product that would fit on the R8 section of the property. These lots, as I said, would have decreased front setbacks and rear setbacks. They do front on private driveways. We did work with the fire department on ensuring we had appropriate length of street, so they're less than 150 feet in length. Has four homes fronting on a private driveway. And ends up kind of this nice sort of boutique-y neighborhood where there's not a lot of through traffic. You have a smaller lot. I know my parents now live in a home where they don't have to worry about water in the yard or mowing the yard, and it's been a big win for them and the lock and leave sort of style. And we're trying to offer this product both to accommodate a gap in the market of a first-time buyer or someone maybe wants to downsize. And so that's why we're proposing it here tonight. And you may have seen it in Harris Ranch. They have some elements of this kind of cluster housing with the smaller lots, smaller setbacks, smaller yards. One thing that's unique about our product is we do have two-car garages, front entry, and each house has their own private backyard. So if you need to take the dog out or want some privacy or want to have a small garden, you're still able to do that. You just don't have to have the large lot that you typically see in a subdivision. An example of this is in North Salt Lake City. A gentleman who works at our company actually developed this product, and saw it be very successful there. And like I said, in Harris Ranch, they've done it locally. We have both the parking, two-car garages for every single unit, but we also had another 62 off-street parking stalls. And then 39 adjacent parking stalls. So we have 2.02 visitor spaces per cottage, which is helpful. Can I request a few more minutes just to finish the presentation?
Okay. How much more time you need?
Just 2 minutes. Okay. That's okay. Okay. Again, a sign of the private driveways, which was reviewed and approved by the fire department. Again, the commercial will be storefronts, as I alluded to that question earlier. An example of this is daycares, maybe a fitness facility, bank, restaurant, something like that. The idea of it, and we're talking to the Economic Development Department, was to provide neighborhood commercial that serves that neighborhood, but also give opportunity for local investment. So keeping CUNA dollars in CUNA is really important, I know, to you all, and it's important to keeping cars off the road. And if we can have that ability to have commercial uses adjacent to the neighborhood, I think that's better overall for smart growth. Again, the regional utility investments, as Paul has kind of alluded to, the first stage of it is using that temporary lift station going to the Crimson Point station. And then the long-term solution is that regional lift station in the northwest corner. The regional lift station is a large lift station that takes into account the whole area that you see outlined in purple. So it has to be sized appropriately, and it's going to be so big it needs a certain amount of effluent to go into the lift station in order for it to pump effectively. And so that won't come until probably until phase 4 or 5. And again, that whole area is eventually going to going to drain into that what's labeled as a sanctuary lift station and then pump out to what is going to be the abandoned 12-inch line and 10-mile and eventually go to the water treatment plant. Again, the fire EMS access, full access to Hubbard and 10 Mile. What's not shown on here is the access that goes down to Ardell through the project that's currently under development south of us. This just shows that we'll have in compliance with the fire department. ACHD, we're tied to certain improvements and intersections that are going to be improved in time. And there's more in the staff report about that. Property tax revenue, just for an example, in per year. All right, I'm going to just jump through, but a couple folks are going to come up. Can I have a couple more minutes? Sorry. I could do this quick in my office, but now that I have an audience, I tend to take a while.
You already have 12 minutes. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
So now we'll move forward with the
Questions?
No.
Okay. All right. Again, this is a public hearing. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter of Sabino's Rocky Ridge that didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. We have... Oh, Patrick Connor, you just went. Aldous Garsmo.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Just to let you know that my name is Aldous Garsmo. I live at 3610 West Hubbard Road, and my concern is, along with two other neighbors, is that with this development of the Rocky Ridge subdivision, that we're going to be horseshoed in, and we just wanted to clarify a couple of points, such as irrigation, road access, and so forth. So very quickly, we just have been working with Hubble Homes, and we just literally finished up this afternoon a memorandum of understanding between myself, Jay Boff, and Scott Higer. Jay is here this evening. So for public record, I will just quickly read through what this memorandum of understanding is between us and Hubble Homes. Providence LLCs, Jay Voth, Aldous Garzvo, and Scott Higer. Purpose. The purpose of this memorandum of understanding is to establish a starting point for future negotiations relating to the operation, maintenance, and ownership of Romar Lane, hereby known as the roadway, and mitigation of impact of development from Sabino's Rocky Ridge subdivision. Romar Lane details an agreement to further discussion. Romar Lane is owned by Providence LLC. The roadway provides access to properties owned by Jay Voth, Aldous Garzvo, and Scott Higer. The access of Romar Lane is memorialized by four access easements for each of the parties. The recorded access easements are attached to as Exhibit A. Providence Properties agrees to honor the details of the access easements and will maintain the roadway as long as Providence Properties owns the property. In Sabino's Rocky Ridge Subdivision preliminary plat, Romar Lane is noted as an emergency access only route for the subdivision. This will not be any non-emergency access into the subdivision via Romar Lane. The emergency access points will be inaccessible to public traffic to restrict public use. The parties understand that there are shared irrigation water issues that cross through and serve multiple properties and ownership. Providence Properties is committed in working to find engineering solutions to potentially rework the irrigation system to avoid flooding, overflow of irrigation water, and ensure future viability of irrigation water delivery that runs along and under Romar Lane and off to and from the adjacent properties. The ownership of the roadway will remain in Providence LLC's name until the roadway property is recorded as legal lots and blocks in the city of Kuna. Each of the parties agrees to continue the conversation of future ownership and future maintenance of the 50-foot wide roadway. If all parties agree to have the roadway property deeded to the adjacent landowners, then new landowners agrees and guarantees an emergency access easement over the entire roadway of Sabino's Rocky Ridge subdivision. I just got a couple more paragraphs here. And basically, this is the MOU that the neighbors will be signing with Hubble to avoid any potential future issues with the development.
Okay, and then probably for tracking purposes, Doug, when that gets signed, do you want to have a copy of that on record, or is that something we need to stay away from? Or Mark?
Ultimately, it's a party. Sorry, it's an agreement between those parties, Hubble and these landowners, and if they want to share one, they can, but it's not the city's agreement to enforce, so.
That's what I thought as soon as I asked that question. It dawned on me that that's probably not what we want. So.
Do you mind if I listen to the last couple of paragraphs he's got?
Do you want to go ahead and read the last couple
paragraphs? Yeah, certainly. Thank you. I appreciate the extra time. My arms are too short, so I got to wear these. The new owners, this is going back to the Romar Lane, the new owners would assume ongoing maintenance of the roadway. Sabino's Rocky Ridge will also acquire an easement for utility crossings over the road. The best part also his property line fencing. As the Sabino Rocky Ridge subdivision develops, the property boundaries around the perimeter of the project will be fenced with a 6-foot-high vinyl fence. The purpose of the fence is to provide a physical and visual barrier between neighboring properties and subdivision. Attached, we have Exhibit B showing the perimeter around the subdivision. And the undersigned parties agreed to work towards a resolution in detail. We had our concerns, and thankfully, working with Patrick here, that we were able to, I believe, find an equitable agreement to mitigating some of the future issues of irrigation water and access on Romar Lane.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, anybody have any further questions?
No, sir.
No. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, so again, this is a public hearing. Is there anybody who wishes to testify who didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay, if you want to come in and sign your name up here on this paper. And that's in favor, neutral, and opposed. That way you got to come up front and we look at you.
Sorry, it was a little late.
That's fine. Awesome. And then if you just want to go ahead and go up there and, as a matter of redundancy, state your name and address again.
Tuck Ewing, representing Tico One LLC, 1500 North El Dorado, Boise, 83704. We are the property due west of this project, at the far west end, joining property, and we are in full support of the project. Hubble has worked with us, and they've done everything that to make this a mutually agreeable through access, sewer connections, obviously the regional lift station, if that comes to be. So we're in full support of the project and see this to be a very good project for the community.
Okay. Questions?
No.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? All right. The matter is before the council. I guess one thing I would ask, Doug, do you have any idea? So as I look at the phases of this project, it would appear that as you get to the final phase, all of this construction equipment's going to end up having to go through the newly developed subdivision to get to the lots to finish it out. That always creates a really lot of drama down here from people that move into their new house. They don't want the trucks running by their house. Usually creates problems for law enforcement in the city. I don't know if there's some way to do something different about that, or it didn't look to me like there was any way to reroute truck traffic, so.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Director. That really is all just contingent upon the way they phase the project. Generally, we would like to see it worked from the arterial roadway 10 mile back, because then there's better access for EMS and citizens to the initial phases of homes. But other than that, it's really up to the developer the way they choose to phase their project.
Okay.
Actually, I have a question for the school district. Did you say, is she here?
Did you want to,
Danielle,
answer questions?
I have a question, if you got a second.
So if you would just state your name and address for the record.
Sure. Hi, Danielle Horace, CUNA School District, 1822 East Montello, Boise, 83712.
Did you see the letter that has been submitted here? It was on May 19th, signed Dave Reinhart. But they say that even though they are nearing capacity, they can service the neighborhood. Essentially, the school district says they can service it. But we've heard a lot of different things from May to now.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that was something that was done prior, or do they still stand by the letter, or what's the school district's stance on? Have they taken one? Or?
What a good question, Councilman Bruce. So what we're experimenting with now, the truth is CUNA is small enough where we can look at our district as a district, right? So there was, prior to May, a decision to look at the district by zone. So when we looked at that zone with that subdivision, we were able to service those students. So since May, we've started shifting our view to district-wide, because the truth is we can move kids from their home school when one is overcrowded and move them to different schools, right? It's not like we're as big as West Ada, where that wouldn't be feasible. So where we sit now is we want to stand by our commitment to serve those students, and the truth is where we're going is we're overcrowded as a district. That's the answer. So when we look at where we're heading right now, in 10 years, we are going to wake up and have 2,700 children without a home school. No teachers, no desks, no bus to pull up to. So yes, that is the case in May. for that zone and big picture, our district is heading for a problem.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
So, yeah.
Doomsdayer here, sorry.
So, I guess in the last sentence of the letter, obviously this letter is in support.
It is.
And the very last, it says, we will always inform the city of CUNA through an amended letter. That was Dave Reinhardt and Robbie Reno. So mm-hmm. is there a chance they didn't? I mean, do they have the same opinion here? Or since Dave is no longer there, maybe the amended letter didn't come?
Right. So we're in. My opinion is we should stand by our supported letter, because that's what we said on that date, and that is true for that zone. I don't want to go back in time and renege right. on agreements. I want to let you know that the status where we are now is we are shifting from looking at zones and really considering the district as a whole. So going forward, that's what you'll hear from me.
Good. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Anything else?
No, ma'am. Thank okay. you.
Thank
much
you.
Much appreciated.
I guess the same thing could be said for fire, right? Because it was in March. But there's been a lot of talk about the levies they're working on passing. Do they update this when it comes in, or do they say, hey, this is about to go in front of council? Because that's, I mean, it's what, 6 months?
Well, I think, though, with the fire district letter, though, it's kind of a form letter of what they require. So they didn't really comment
yay or nay
on it. It's just this is the requirements from, at least that's what I see in the letter. I don't see there would be anything there they would change their mind on, because that's mostly policy and fire code stuff. So unless I missed something there.
I don't think so. Did I break it?
Well, I have nothing further. You?
No, I think most of the stuff that I questioned appears to be taken care of. 6-foot fence on the abutting properties. It looks like it's all been handled. And Compass even, and their comments actually gave it kind of a favorable review with the commercial that's also added in there. So looking at the neighborhood meeting minutes and everything else that's been addressed, I would say we're probably, I think they did a good job of addressing all of those comments as far as I could see.
Okay. Then I would move we...
Mayor, did we want to allow the option for the rebuttal from the applicant?
Oh yeah, there's that.
You may have the floor again, sir.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I did just, I wanted to thank Aldis for reading the Memorandum of Understanding. We spent a lot of time trying to put that together, both on-site, looking at the irrigation facilities and talking about Romar Lane, trying to be a good neighbor for them. If y'all don't mind, may I read another letter of support that I didn't get to in my presentation, or I can just leave it with you all. I also handed it out at the front, but it's from Neil Durant.
From what?
From Neil.
Neil Durant?
Yeah, it's the letter that's on the table.
Do you have copies for
I do.
Clerk? Chris, what do you need from that?
So this was not in the packet submitted for packet?
It was not. He tried to deliver it on Friday, but I was past the deadline of Thursday.
I see. Thank you.
So.
Okay, go ahead.
Mind if I read it? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
City of CUNA City Council. I'm writing this letter today about the proposed annexation and preliminary plat for Spino's Rocky Ridge subdivision brought forth with Providence Properties, LLC. In the packet is a letter of me asking the proposed to be denied due to issues that were a concern to me and my property. I'm writing this letter today in support of the proposed subdivision, mainly because the developer has come full circle and wants to make sure they work with me and try to help me minimize the impact they have on my property. I highly commend them for this, and I anticipate that their cooperation will continue through the building process, especially when they're on phase four, which is directly adjacent to my property. The changes that have been made have been stated in writing, which I hope are still true. One, developer installed a six-foot fence along my westerly property line, east side of Shayla Avenue. Two, developer has modified their plat to include larger homes along Shayla. Three, developer has asked for a condition of approval at the P&Z to agree to place single-story homes in large lots Shayla, which is directly adjacent to our home, in respect to our privacy. Four, developer, along with recommendations from ACHG, has shifted Shayla 6 feet further west. The only issue I have left, and I have not talked to the developer on it, and I have talked to the developer on it right now, is has nothing that can be done, and we don't know what the impacts are, but my still concern is that Shayla and Hubbard in the future, once build-out is completed and traffic has increased, what recourse do I have if the intersection has negative effects on my driveway and my ability to enter and leave? I would like to have some recourse to make changes that I'm not fully responsible for. With these changes, I'm appreciative of what the developer has done, and I will support the proposed development. Thanks, Neil Durant. And Neil couldn't be with us tonight. He had a previous engagement, but he wanted me to read that on record since he wasn't able to get it to the clerk in time. Okay. That concludes it. Thank you.
And so then, is his driveway issue then?
So as it is now,
work on that?
His driveway comes all the way to the property line of the center line of where Shayla should have been placed. We shifted the center line of Shayla to the west to move it off, and Ewing Meadows to the south did the same thing, if you all remember that from about 6 or 8 months ago. His concern now is as he leaves his driveway, it'll be parallel to the intersection of Shayla and Hubbard. So he's more concerned about sight line and making sure that he's safe backing in and out of his driveway, which will be handled with safety guidelines with ACHD, ensuring there's the vision triangle that folks see him as he's backing out, and making sure there's not any sort of obstructions, so people know that he's there. Given that his driveway is so long and wide and goes all the way to the edge of his property line, there may be some accommodation that he'll have to make of pulling out a little bit further on the far east side of his property. So there isn't an issue or any sort of conflict there. So it's something that he's kind of trying to figure out and getting used to. And his driveway is also elevated pretty high above our property, and so he'll have actually a better viewpoint and sight as it's built out. So it's something we're working through.
So you can guarantee he'll smile when he sees you?
I hope so. I don't know. He was pretty nice when I talked to him yesterday. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Further question?
No.
I actually have one for Doug. The lift station and this may be Paul, the lift station and pond, will it go in last? Where would it go in? So my thought was, can you get 3/4 of the way through the project and then stop and not have to put in the pond or the lift station?
That's probably a better question for Paul.
Because, we say we have it in there, but what if it gets 3/4 or 80%? And then decides not to have that put in, then we're...
Two things. First of all, I haven't had that experience with these guys. They've been men of their word. And then the other thing is, I think that they will... The pump and pond part will go in, I believe, towards the front of the project, and then the regional lift station will go in later. So I guess we could have the temporary longer than we wanted if things don't go well. But I've been working with these guys for quite a long time, and I believe that they would work with us to make sure it was an amenable end solution.
And I did have one more question. When we talked about selling access to the EDUs, what should we put, if it's approved, what should we put in there to have them? Because we talked about certain phases. That way we don't get stuck to where they have so many years to do it, and we have sewer capacity for someone else who's ready to turn dirt, but we've already sold those EDUs here. How should we put that into the wording?
So you could address a condition in the staff memo stating that the EDU allocation for this subdivision will be addressed on a phase-by-phase basis. And staff can add that to the findings of fact if approved.
You good?
Well, are we ready to move to deliberation then? Yeah, okay. I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. That was a motion by Council President McPherson and seconded by Council Member Larraway.
Well, it's definitely a different development than what we've seen, especially when you have the neighbors in attendance and a letter from another one all supporting such a project. That's kind of unheard of. So it just kind of brings a wow factor that we don't get those a lot, that the developer and the neighbors have worked so well together and came up with memorandums and such. So that, good work on everybody's behalf there. It's a different project in that where it has dead-end, minimal traffic road on one side, but a huge, major collector or major roadway on the other side. So it'll be proved to be interesting how it builds out and works. And the development, going above and beyond with the lift station and the lagoon that with without holding a gun to their head, so to speak, that's kind of good on them, too. So I would support this project as the way it stands.
Okay.
You, John. You have any? And I think we have the school district support, the neighbors support. They're putting in, the sewer component to it.
And the PI, because PI connections are huge too. So,
and I do like the fact that we're doing development agreements that kind of hold everyone to task. Also, that used to be something we didn't do a lot of, and made things difficult in the end. Whereas this way, it's spelled out, and we know what we're doing and what we're getting. So, appreciate the development agreement aspect and. Kudos to planning and zoning and legal for making those things happen.
Have anything, John?
I agree with Greg. You can't argue when everybody starts supporting it. That takes the life out of the argument.
Yeah.
I'll be a fool to go, wait a minute.
Yeah. I don't have anything else.
Okay. You had a special stipulation about the EDUs, though.
To update the staff memo that the EDUs be dispersed on a phase-by-phase basis.
Could I just provide some, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, just to provide some additional clarification. With the decision tonight, it would be phase one of the final plat. Those EDUs would be allocated, and then it would be each subsequent final plat is when that would be assessed, when I say phase-by-phase basis.
Okay.
Okay.
um, So I think with that definition, you can just say a phase-by-phase basis, and yeah. I think that's clarified, so you should be fine there.
Okay. Then with that, I would move we approve case number 21-04AN, 21-03ZC, 21-01PUD, 21-03S, preliminary plat, 21-01DA, with the conditions that the EDUs be issued on a phase-by-phase basis.
Second.
Okay, motion by Council President McPherson and second by Council Member Larraway. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? That motion carries. That leads us to case number 22-02-TE, time extension for Madrone Heights subdivision number 2, Jessica Reed.
Good evening again, Mayor and Council. For the record, Jessica Reed, Planner 2, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. K&M Engineering, on behalf of DB Development, requests time extension approval for the Madrone Heights subdivision number 2, located on the northwest corner of West CUNA Road and North Madrone Avenue. Per CUNA City Code 642, final plats must be recorded within 2 years after the date of signature on the findings of fact and conclusions of law, with Madrone Heights number 1 final plat being recorded September 20th, 2021. To meet technical compliance, the Madrone Heights number 2 final plat would have needed to be recorded by today. Sorry, I flip-flopped some info in there. The applicant has faced unexpected construction delays and agency processing times, but has still shown a good faith effort by performing their pre-construction meeting on April 4th, 2022, as well as being beginning appropriate dirt and underground work. Based upon staff review, staff finds the time extension request to be in compliance with CUNA City Code and Idaho Code. And with the good faith showing by the developer, staff has no concerns and would recommend Council approves case number 22-02-TE. With that, I will answer any questions you have.
Okay, question. Mm-hmm. All right, done. Thank you very much.
Well, pretty straightforward on that. I would move we...
So it's normally 2 years? And they come back every 2 years? Is that what it is? Or?
Jessica.
Sorry.
Excuse me for clarification. I transposed on my presentation. They have a year from recordation. So they would have had to record as of today. Ada County, unfortunately, had a very long lead time, as well as other agencies.
They good? Okay. I would move we approve case number 22-02-TE.
Second.
Motion made by Council President McPherson and seconded by Council Member Larraway to approve case number 22-02-TE. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? And that motion carries. Case number 22-02-LLA, lot line adjustment.
LLA.
Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Givens Pursley, LLP, on behalf of Brisby LLC, requests approval for a lot line adjustment on two parcels located at 6990 West Cunamora Road and South Cole Road. The purpose of the lot line adjustment is to adjust an internal lot line between the two properties to form a smaller parcel which will be conveyed to the Idaho Power Company in order to facilitate a future substation. There are no right-of-way improvements for this application. Staff would like to make a correction on the record. The property owner on page 105 or page 177 of the overall packet in the staff memo should read Brisby LLC. Upon review, staff has determined this request to be in compliance with CUNA City Code Title V, the Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code. Staff recommends the council approve case number 22-02-LLA, with the applicant being subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 7 of the staff memo. Thank you, and with that, I will answer any questions you may have.
What page on the packet was that owner?
177.
107?
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. This just makes it easier for Idaho Power to get a piece of property without having to make them give up more than they have to for it.
Right. Scroll past. Okay, I would move we approve case number 22-02-LLA.
Second.
Motion by Council President McPherson and the second by Council Member Larraway to approve case number 2202-LLA. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to accept resolution R67-2022. Resolution of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings, accepting resignation of Warren Christensen, and declaring his City Council position vacant, directing the City Clerk, and providing an effective date. And that just basically makes it official so that we can move on to the next section.
I would move we approve resolution R67-2022.
I'll second it.
Motion's made by Council President McPherson and seconded by Council Member Bruce to accept resolution R67-2022. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to select a candidate to fill council member vacancy. So I wanted to do this a little differently. Generally, I pick somebody and bring them to you, and I kind of wanted this time for you to have input in actually the folks that are being selected. So I thought we would do that, and then I guess in the end then I will ask your permission to bring forward the person that you pick. And because, see, last time it was terrible.
I thought you did a fine job. I commend your leadership.
No, I mean, I know that's the process and that's the way you do it, but it just feels a little weird for me to hand pick people to be on the council. And I don't know, it's probably not a big deal either way, but. Anyway, I asked and you guys said you would, so here we are. So we have three that put in a request. Those Jeff Moore, Tyson Garten, and Matt Biggs. We had a letter from Tyson and then a letter from Matt Biggs, and I think Jeff Moore just made a request, right, and so that there wasn't really a letter with yours. Would it be appropriate to have them come up and just present what they want to say? And
yeah, I mean, it's obviously, sorry.
Yes.
Just before he answers, Tyson had emailed earlier in the day to ask if they, you know, if they were going to speak, and I said it was not on the agenda, but it was, and he asked if it was just in council's hands, and I said yes. So just as a heads up, Tyson doesn't appear to be here, unless I'm just not seeing him. But I just wanted to make sure I put that on the record that he did ask, and I did not tell him, but he was aware of the meeting.
How does council feel about that? Do we want to just make copies of Jeff's letter? You can read them real quick since the others are in the packet, and that way we don't give an unfair advantage anywhere.
To me, if we told Tyson no, we shouldn't offer that opportunity to others.
Yeah. Would that be acceptable?
I just told him it wasn't on the agenda that they were going to speak. But is there a letter from Jeff? Because I didn't have a copy of the letter, so.
Right.
Jeff, did you submit an actual letter?
No.
Okay. But I do, for Mr. Marler, I will say he's checked back regularly to see the status. Ben let me know when he contacted me that he'd been directed by the mayor to let me know that he was interested. And so he's made several contacts just to keep track of where we're at in the process.
Well, how about this? How about since we have the other letters in the packet, as long as he stays with his letter and just reads his letter into the record, does that sound?
Yes, so I appreciate all the information first, because I guess to be clear, and Mark Bybee, city attorney, there's not like explicit guidance on how you go through this process other than you mayor appoints and the council consents to the appointment. That's how it goes. And so as far as do you hear from people, you have discretion on that. I think Chris has, you know, point is well made that if somebody didn't come here on the belief there wouldn't be testimony, it's a bit of unfairness. If Mr. Marler hasn't gotten a letter in but has one he'd like to read, I think it's, in you know, fair to him to get it read in, and then we look at it all on a letter-by-letter basis, because you don't want to give favoritism to any one applicant, was what I'd say. And if it's on a letter-by-letter basis, that's how I'd consider it. Otherwise, if you were wanting testimony, I think it would be fair for Mr. Garten to be able to have a chance to be on that too.
And that was my point, is I think if we just do the based on the letters, we should be fine. And
yes.
So you don't get to say how pretty I am, but if you want to come up and read your letter into the record, that would be nice.
Sure. I wasn't aware of the letter. I just figured it'd be a good thing to actually be here. So, good evening, Mayor Steer and City Council, everyone. My name is Jeff Marler. I'm here because I'm interested in filling the open City Council seat that was vacated by Warren Christensen. About a year ago, I ran for City Council last year and finished with the third highest vote total. Unfortunately, there were only two seats open at the time. That was a pretty good showing for first time at it. Just kind of what I support. I support a slower and managed growth with more focus on infrastructure. Diversified economic development plan is the key to CUNA's future and improving recreational options and activities for the youth of CUNA in a nutshell. So basically, I just want to bring a fresh set of eyes to CUNA city government, bring the voices of our community to the table to ensure our citizens' needs and concerns are heard and considered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like a copy of that?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, however you would like to begin, do you want to just go through each one, or do you want to just make your pick?
Well, I don't know how to do this. I'm just.
Well, there's really no process.
So. Well, that's what I'm saying. So
there really is. Not, this is not normal. So.
Rock, paper, gun, right?
Yeah,
right.
Rock, paper,
Jeff,
gun.
Jeff came in third in the voting process, so that's a plus. But unfortunately, Matt did not have that opportunity, so that's not a yes or a no. It's just there's no comparison. Mm-hmm. They both have, you know, outstanding background. I don't know how to. This is seriously flip a coin. Unless one of you want to take me out to dinner, I'm open to that too. But.
You need a coin?
As long as it's only dinner.
Either one, I feel very confident in. unfortunately, Tyson's not here. And Jeff beat Tyson in the runoff or in the election.
What's your thoughts, Greg?
I don't know. I mean, you look, I remember Jeff speaking before when he ran for council, and now I'm reading again through Matt's information here, and yeah, it's a tough one. I don't I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. And yeah. I mean, I guess so. When I look at it, I think about someone that's really deep in their heart wanting to help the community, and that's Matt Biggs, he's all over the place doing all kinds of things and has done a lot, so it's obvious that he has that heart. And Jeff ran before because he wanted to, not because he didn't want to serve the community. He ran because he wanted to. So I guess it all takes a big heart to do all of that. So,
as the council president, can you make a motion that he picks and we just support you? And then
I'm going to have to get legal on that.
Mark Bybee, city attorney. So can you make a motion? Yes. I'm going to explain kind of what Mayor is alluding at. Is typically, a mayor will just come forward and said, I appoint this person. Do you confirm that? And then, as can happen sometimes, the city councils go, no. And so I think Mayor's looking for you to select it here. I think Mayor could move forward and just appoint. That would be more consistent with state code. And it's really, I think he's trying to look at feedback of who you would support. And I'm not necessarily hearing one over the other. The standard you're kind of considering, it's not real clear, but it just says willing, qualified, and able. You know, is the person willing, qualified, and able? And if you consider all three of them, this mayor really could move forward with an appointment, and then you confirm it. I think mayor's reluctant to do that and asking for some insight on who you'd like, and if nobody's going to move first, I don't know how to answer it. I'd put it back on mayor and say, mayor, well, really, in code, it talks about it being your appointment, and if nobody's going to move first, I'd encourage you to move first with an appointment and ask for them to confirm that through the by passing the resolution.
I think Matt, you know, if you look what Matt's done in the community, he's done a lot. He's really involved. And then the same thing with Jeff. I mean, he put his name in the hat. It's not easy to run for office. I think we'd be blessed to have either one of them. And so I guess it would follow, do you want someone who's been more active in the community or someone who's looking to be as active as possible in the community? That's kind of, you know, someone with a track record of doing it or someone that wants to. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, and after what the attorney said, I would support Matt Biggs. I guess if we're looking to throw a name out and see where everyone else is at, that's where my vote would be right now.
John, do you have either one out of the three? I would support either one of those two. So
I think I said that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, which one did you choose? You just said what? When you read over the stuff, what are your thoughts?
When I read all this comparison, I read that Matt has had a variety of experience. He has life experience that you're not going to find in normal people. his commitment. I mean, I'm normal, but I mean, his background, great. His travel, his commitment to the football, the basketball, the coaching, that takes a lot out of it. I did it. I know. So I'm probably leaning towards Mac. There's not a reason why. It's just I see in his letter, this is not fair, but he has more of a lifestyle like I had. So I can compare my life with his. Doesn't matter right or wrong, but you asked for my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. That's exactly what. Thank you.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you've got a guy that's been doing it, and someone that's
that's wanting to, wanting and eager, and I mean, he's here, he's been checking in with City Hall, so it's a tough call, but yeah.
Well, I put my two cents out there. It's up to you two.
I said my piece.
Yeah, it sounds like you two are with Matt.
I'm just saying, it's not fair, but it's the best way I can relate to who I'd like to see sitting up here. It's simple.
And Jeff has also reached out to try to get on the Economic Development Committee and things like that. So I think he still at least showed a lot of input to show up. And maybe that's the process. Maybe, you know, you get on it with something that's economic development or maybe even some of the planning and zoning.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
See how easy that was?
Yeah.
So then, Mayor, I think what I would suggest, if you feel like you know what you would want to do based on what you're hearing, is make a suggested appointment and ask for them to confirm it by adopting the resolution with that name written in.
All right. Well, then that finishes item D. Item E is consideration to accept resolution R68-2022, resolution of the CUNA City Council, City of CUNA, making certain findings and approving the mayor's appointment of Matt Biggs to fill the city council vacancy, directing the city clerk and providing an effective date. So we would just need a motion to accept that resolution.
I would move we approve resolution R68-2022.
Motion by Council President McPherson.
Second.
Second by Council Member Laraway. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you both.
Yes.
So I guess providing an effective date, we will make that the next regular council meeting. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. At the next council meeting, we will swear in Mr. Biggs.
September, October.
That is why we're scheduling it for then.
Yeah.
You're welcome. October 5th, I think it is.
On October?
October 4th. So, Matt, on October 4th, you'll attend council meeting, and then there'll be a swearing-in ceremony at that point.
It's not too bad. She doesn't swear loud. Just
the hardest part is having your photo taken.
And, yeah, so you'll need to come in and meet with Nancy Stoffer, and she can get the paperwork filled out and get you set up, and Chris can help do that. All right. Thank you very much.
Ordinances.
And thank you, Jeff. Consideration to accept resolution R71-2022. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it doesn't have a name on it, but it's mine and it's long, so I can.
All right, go ahead.
I can summarize for you. The resolution that's before you is a sister resolution to an action that was passed by the Urban Renewal Agency considering some parcels that are in the proposed East CUNA Urban Renewal District. Between the eligibility study for the Urban Renewal District and the actual formation of the plan, those parcels that sit just behind the CSB facility were transferred to ownership of CSB. It's CS Properties is the holding entity, but it's related to the CSB operation. It is practice of CS and their land use to be very conservative when it comes to anything that is related to eminent domain or taking. So when they were asked to sign the agricultural consent that's required for the formation of an urban renewal district, they had some concerns. So we went through the process and negotiated a very clear and specific agreement with them in regards to the Urban Renewal Agency, stating that the Urban Renewal Agency would never recommend condemnation of any part of those properties without express written consent of CS before. Now, because the Urban Renewal Agency can only recommend to this body for condemnation, they can't actually begin that process without City Council. CS Beef asked for an additional resolution to come before this body, just stating that you recognize and confirm that agreement, that no eminent domain action would be taken in relationship to those parcels without express written consent from CS before that process started. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any more technical.
This does, if I may.
Yes.
This does not open the door for the Urban Renewal District to the east, right? I mean, this has nothing to do with that being approved or.
Correct. This is just specific to any sort of condemnation action that would happen on those three parcels. There's a map included with the materials. It's just the three parcels that sit right behind the existing facility is all this is limited to. It's right in the resolution.
So basically, we're selling that we are going to have an urban renewal district out there to these properties.
So, So those properties were part of the eligibility study, and they're very important because they're actually our contiguous touch from the north to the south. CS Beef would not agree to sign the consent to participate in the urban renewal district unless we provided some extra assurance to them that we would never go after any condemnation action on those properties. So this is just an extra layer of protection for CS Beef, stating that we are acknowledging that as an urban renewal agency and then the action before this body that we would never go down that path without their express written consent. It, as the current urban renewal plan and the project list is laid out, that's not an action that I would see happening. Frankly, if anything ever happened, I think it would probably have to do more with Curtis Road, which would be ACHD. And in the conversations with CSB, if we made it explicitly clear, the city can only deal with the city, and the state and the highway district and the county will still have all of their rights, and they acknowledge that.
Okay, thank you.
I could answer questions and offer comments on this too, because I was involved in it. I always am bad about this, Mark Bybee, city attorney, but I will, I'll be explicit with you and say CS Beef was pretty stubborn on this. And the long and short of it is, for the Urban Renewal District to move forward, ag consents need to be signed, and CS Beef was one of the parties that ended up needing to provide an ag consent. They didn't initially, but the parcels were bought and during this time, and they came in, and now they're the party to do the ag consent. And they basically want assurances that eminent domain is not going to happen to their parcel. And I think, even when I talked about this with Morgan, I kind of felt like we were talking about a boogeyman that didn't necessarily exist. They're really worried about eminent domain that's not even in our consideration right now as a city. But they were really, you know, kind of demanding on, like, we want these assurances that you aren't going to do it. And so I think the point I want to make to you, by passing this resolution, you're putting the city in a situation, I just say to be clear, that you're really not going to be exercising eminent domain on this part, on these properties, unless CS Beef would say, yep, you can do it, which that's kind of the antithesis of what eminent domain is, because you use it when people are saying, no, you can't buy this from us. And so they're taking away this power in regards to these parcels is really what happens. I think the important thing, and what I talked about with Morgan, is what she said at the end there, is ACHD, you know, with it being a highway jurisdiction in this county, it's really the party that would be the more likely one to act in this regard if it became necessary. But I say that also pointing out that nobody has plans in regards to eminent domain condemnation in regards to these parcels. Like, that's why it's like we're kind of talking about a boogeyman, but also you have to think is, like, I don't know, 50 years, are the people in your seat looking at a reason why it needs to happen? And that's the flip side of the coin. It's not even on the radar, Could it be in 50 years? Could it be in 100 years? You know, that's the long-term land use perspective, but it's also, I think it's weighing that risk against the urban renewal district happening, and this is a critical part to it happening, and that's kind of the balancing that you're doing.
You can't fault them for not trusting the government.
Yeah. Now, clarification. Downtown is CUNA Renewal Urban District West.
Correct.
Ridley's was east. What's this other one going to be called?
So there's only the CUNA West District that's the downtown, and it kind of swings out a little bit.
By Albertsons?
By Albertsons. That's our West District. West. The proposed East District, the one we had the presentation about, one or two meetings ago, that's the out in the East Industrial Park, so the Cole and Cunamora area.
So Ridley's is not in an urban renewal?
No.
Okay.
So East is what?
I thought it was.
So he's just saying we're not opening the door for an approval on East, right? This is just stuff that has to get back to us to decide.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
Clears mind, everyone.
Are you going to read it or no?
Okay, then I would move we accept resolution R71-2022.
Second.
Motion made by Council President McPherson, seconded by Councilmember Larraway. To accept resolution R71-2022. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance 2022-26, a municipal rezone ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, making certain findings and rezoning certain real property, to wit, Ada County parcel numbers R567243060, R567243020, and R567243040, owned by Merlin Point LLC, situated within the corporate limits of the City of CUNA, Ada County, Idaho, and amending the zoning map and directing the city engineer and the city clerk and providing an effective date. I don't think this is anything we need to slow track. So.
Okay, I would move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2022-26.
Second.
Motion's made by Council President McPherson and seconded by Councilmember Larraway to waive the three readings of Ordinance 2022-26. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
I would move we approve Ordinance 2022-26.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance 2022-26. By Council President McPherson and seconded by Council Member Larraway. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council Member Bruce?
Aye.
Council Member Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And the motion carries. And that is all we have on the agenda for tonight. Did anybody have anything you wanted to announce? Are you running for any new things, Council Member Bruce?
No.
It is about time for legislative sessions.
I've actually had a lot of folks call about support, but I've decided to pass. Yeah. I'm just going to hang back and watch, let them fight it out. Yeah.
Well, I think House Bill 389 is going to be a major topic. Long discussion today with our local senator, and she took into consideration a lot of things that I said. And I think they're willing to look this session at some reasonable fixes to things.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I mean, it's, especially if you're a city like Greenleaf or Melba, it just handcuffs you to where you can't even build a house in those
and Marsing. Anymore. When I talked to the Marsing mayor, they were telling me the same thing.
Yeah.
They're going, some of the cities are going back to dirt roads just because they don't have the, or gravel because they don't have the money to pave them.
Well, I think that, the intention was to pick on the big cities, and the big cities are the ones that are least affected.
Yeah, they're laughing it up.
So that actually had a negative effect on what they were trying to do. So, and I don't know that reducing property taxes was ever the real underlying effort there. So, and honestly, it does kind of handcuff us on our ability to reduce property taxes. We want to do that by bringing more commercial product to the city, and that essentially handcuffs us to some certain extent to change that balance of commercial residential. Yeah. So
you got to figure out some way to index it. All right.
Anyway, so 'tis the season.
Have a good trip. Oh, we'll see you one more time before your trip.
All right.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.